Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and I'm here to let you know that this is a not safe for work podcast. We are teachers who love our jobs, but we like to complain every now and then, so we use aliases so we can keep these jobs we love so much. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is brought to you by Lud Lamb Dramatics. If you need educational posters for your classroom, go to Lud Lamb Dramatics. They specialize in theater posters. You can get them on a large array of subjects like stage lights, how to do stage makeup, and Lin-Manuel Miranda, as well as many other scholars. We're also sponsored by Posh Pretzels of Frisco. If you would like some amazing, tasty, delicious custom gifts, go to Posh Pretzels of Frisco. We're also brought to you thanks to our Patreons. If you would like to get access to lost episodes, bonus content, special exclusive episodes, go to our Patreon for Teacher Needs a Drink, and you can get them for as little as $5 a month. If you have something you'd like to share with Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook or through the contact page of our website. And also, as we're going to announce many times throughout, you can also get Teacher Needs a Drink swag, bottle openers, shot glasses, stickers, koozies on our website, teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday. And if you would like to do one more thing to help us out, if you could like, subscribe, leave a review, a good one, or even 5 stars, that would help us. But you know what? Sometimes that's a lot of work. The easiest thing you can do is just tell one other person. Find someone in your building and just tell them something you heard on this podcast and keep listening. It's a great one. I like it. Anyway, I hope you enjoy our podcast, episode 49. Thank you, friends.
Playing around.
No, shit.
He is ready to show some people what's up.
Yeah.
His balls.
That's
and welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and today I am joined by Miss Shirley Temper.
I am Daenerys Stormborn of the House Targaryen of the blood of old Valyria. I am the dragon's daughter, and I swear to you that those who will harm you will die screaming.
Oh, yeah. And then also with me today, Mr. Turd Ferguson.
You know, they say that shit rolls downhill, but why the fuck does it always end up in my yard?
Always about the poop.
Always. And Miss Sparkles.
I'm back again.
Always. She comes back.
I do.
Sparkles always comes back. And then there's also Miss Bunny O'Hare.
You mean you'll put down your rock and I'll put down my sword and we'll try and kill each other like civilized people?
Most definitely. Well, I believe that a lot of people at this point have started back at school, or at least have their in-services going right now. Some people aren't actually in school, but a lot of people are already seeing kids. I know I personally am doing the thing where I'm teaching the kids while being watched by kids at home and trying to keep them all amused. And I don't have the time. I feel like last year I could be teaching a class and I could have my email open and every now and then go over and peek at an email. I don't feel like I have that kind of wiggle room anymore. But I'm really looking forward to the point when the kids actually get the technology, and so I don't feel like I'm having to teach them every time. Okay, guys, let's get the file out. Where do we do that?
Well, you
go there. My computer's running slow. What? Can you just screen share? Like, we've got 30 people here. You gotta learn this, kiddo.
In my district, we have asynchronous option. So we don't have to meet with the kids live every day, which I kind of like, because I think it gives the kids a break from being on the computer all day, and it gives us a break, and it gives everybody a chance to kind of get work done on their own and turn things in and make lesson plans and whatever. But I had a kid today. So keep in mind, we've been using Canvas in our school since last year, and we've been requiring them to turn in an assignment every day on Canvas. And he emails me today and goes, I don't know how to submit assignments on Canvas.
Oh my God, same. I still don't know how to use it.
And this is after he's, first of all, had to turn in assignments on Canvas last year, because I had him last year too. He's already turned in a couple of assignments on Canvas this year. And the two assignments he was missing were on his asynchronous day, which means I had to mark him absent. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden he doesn't know how to use canvas.
Mm-hmm. So this is an article from the Texas Tribune. It was, I think it's from 2 days ago. The title is, "A Texas Teacher Who Posted Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ Posters in Her Virtual Classroom Was Placed on Leave After Parents Complained."
I'm already so mad.
Unable to meet with her students in person because of the pandemic, Taylor Lifka, an advanced English teacher at Roma High School, set out to personalize and add warmth to her virtual classroom space. She displayed a collage of posters just like the ones in her real classroom. One read Black Lives Matter, and another included a rainbow flag, and a third had a phrase written in Spanish that highlights the solidarity between black and brown people. On the digital chalkboard, she asked students to put their names and preferred pronouns in the chat box. Then she posted a screenshot of her classroom on social media. On Sunday, one day before she was supposed to welcome her students back virtually for the first day of class, a school official told her to take down the signs. She refused. A few hours later, she was placed on leave. "My assistant principal told me, please take the posters down. I guess once that happened, I knew that it might be a rocky road, but considering being put on leave, I never really thought that was going to be their first step," she said in an interview with the Texas Tribune. Roma school officials said that several parents and community members filed complaints to the district about the Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ poster. Lifka was told she could return Tuesday and would be allowed to retain the posters as long as they did not come to overly disrupt or distract from the educational process or the learning environment.
But I'm doing a jerking off motion now.
"This action was not intended to reflect any form of punishment or admonishment towards Ms. Lifka, but was purely driven by a need to review the circumstances and come to a sound resolution for all persons involved," the Roma Independent School District said in a statement. The English teacher said she won't return until the district commits to tangible change and supporting anti-racist policies and tolerance in our classrooms. Lifka specifically asked the district to provide additional training and clarify guidance for staff regarding inclusion. Someone bitched. They told her to shut it down. They put her on leave. And then I think almost immediately once it came out, the school's like, "Oh, no. We didn't put her on leave. We needed her out of the way so that she couldn't, yeah, we just had to make up our mind."
Yeah, nobody puts people on leave to investigate something that, like, you already have a screen capture of it. You'd, like, what? No, putting somebody on administrative leave is not your first move.
No. And that doesn't really happen in teaching situations unless there's, like, bad touch situations or, like, someone's been found with, like, drugs on their person as a teacher in school.
Yeah.
They never do an immediate leave. Usually it's, like, a week and then you got to meet, you have time. No, within 2 hours. So I'm betting she put it on. Some bitchy parent got upset and all butthurt and called the principal. Like, just deal with it. I'm glad they realized that it overreached. And I'm glad she has the balls to say, "Well, I'm not coming back until you actually do these things." And I can't imagine the district now with the spotlights on them saying, "Oh, no, we're not going to show due diversity training."
I mean,
now, I can't imagine it's going to be a happy place for her to work much longer after that.
That's some bullshit.
I'm guessing come springtime, she might want to look elsewhere.
Yeah.
For her. Like, she may not be happy there if that's how the community is.
One of the things that came out with that was some, I think their representative, their Texas House representative, was like, "I don't like it when these schools are indoctrinating our children." But the thing I want to know is, why are we only indoctrinating children when we're trying to teach them empathy and, like, to be a good human being and to not be shitty to everyone, regardless of their race or their gender or their sexual orientation? Like, why is that indoctrination, but, like, saying the pledge every day like little robots is not? I mean, for God's sake, we have to say the Texas pledge. Like, what state in the union also, like, what other state in the union says that their state pledge every day?
Yeah, I think the weirdest thing is I grew up with the like the Pledge of Allegiance for America and saying that every day. And I didn't know the Under God was added in the 50s during the Red Scare to try to get rid of the communists. But I was I came to Texas in middle school and all of a sudden there's a Texas pledge. Like, and now the Texas pledge. I was like, what? Really? Mm-hmm. You have a pledge for Texas? And it was always funny when there'd be a sub that would come to the school. And they'd always suddenly get like a smell the fart, what the fuck look on their face. Like, wait, there's another pledge. And then after like, I think at some point in my teaching career, they added Under God into the Texas pledge because they wanted to make sure. Oh, my God. And then they get all upset if like some parent was like, yeah, I don't want my kid to say that. Well, everyone has to stand. No, he doesn't. No.
No, they do not have to stand. And actually, so there, Texas is in direct competition, confrontation, whatever, with federal statute. So the Supreme Court has found that, no, you cannot force kids to say the pledge. You cannot force them to stand. But in the state of Texas, there is a law on our books that says you can require that students stand but not say the pledge. So my district requires all the kids to stand, which I think is stupid. And if they don't want to stand, their mommy or daddy has to write a note to the school to explain that my child doesn't stand during the pledge. And I asked my principal, well, what if it's a staff member? Because I don't, I'm putting it out there. I don't recite the pledge, either one. And I haven't since it became law in 2004 because I thought it was a stupid thing for the House of Representatives and the state Congress to waste their time on. And you bitches are concerned if I say the pledge every day? That's some bullshit. So I don't say the pledge because I still think that's bullshit.
All right, everyone. This is from Reddit. It is titled, Always Read the Entire Book Before Reading It to the Class by Eclipse Light. So I know this is pretty self-explanatory, but let me explain what happened to me. I'm a first-year kindergarten teacher fresh out of undergrad. We're doing virtual meetings as our classes right now. I read two books to the class every meeting. The children love the series called Pete the Cat. If you're not familiar, it's about a groovy cat with a positive attitude who always says, it's all good, no matter what happens to him. I skimmed through the book for Pete the Cat and his four groovy buttons. Basically, Pete has a jacket with four buttons. One pops off. How many are left? Buttons pop off Pete's jacket until there's zero buttons left. I hadn't read the past this page by myself. So, when I was reading the book and get to zero, I was expecting Pete just to say something like, no more buttons? It's all good. Instead, I turned the page and read. Pete looked down at his buttonless shirt, and what do you think he saw? I was like, WTF did I pick up? Is this the Pete the Cat book? Needless to say, I was pretty reluctant to keep reading. Finally, in huge letters on the next page, his belly button.
No.
Oh. I'm like, what a relief, OMG. One of the girls starts pulling up her shirt to show me her belly button. I'm dying inside while singing, my buttons still have my belly button to the entire class. It was such a huge laugh for my family afterwards, but I definitely learned a lesson.
Yeah, you got to read it all. I got burned by that one time, and it was all kind of like a grandparent's fault. Because a grandparent had donated a bunch of picture books to the school library, and the librarian didn't want to sort them. She said, so you know what, guys? Just if you want them for your classroom, you can take them. Otherwise, I'm just going to donate them or throw them away. And so I found a book by Marie Sendak, who had written Where the Wild Things Are. And this book was called In the Night Kitchen. And I kind of scanned it. It was kind of a similar kid has a dream and goes through this kitchen and there's big chefs. I was like, this is great. He makes like an airplane out of dough. Anyway, it keeps going and going. But then like on the third page, when he falls asleep, he falls out of his clothes. And there's a tiny little penis there. And for the next four pages, anytime they show this little illustrated boy, there's a tiny little penis there. Like a little tiny scrotum in his butt. And I was like, oh.
No.
And so I saw it and I stopped. I said, oh, wait, guys, I brought the wrong book. And I always have extra stuff in my bag. So I kind of went and dug something else out that I had read. I was like, oh, shit. But then I went home and I got some little foil stars, you know, those really pretty, like, shiny red ones. And I just put the star over anything explicit in the book. So the book is full of stars. Like, there's extras, too. So it's not only, like, on the boy's crotch, but
Yeah.
So this is from one of our readers who submitted it through the contact page.
Oh, the contact
page. And I'll delete their
email. You know, y'all should be using our contact page more. We love to hear from you. From Hans Molman. So I'm a high school math teacher. Please hold your applause. I'm thankful that my students are remote, even though I still need to teach from my classroom. Hard same. The amount of science teachers who clearly don't believe in science is a bit infuriating, but I digress.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? That's some bullshit. I have a student who misses our virtual classes pretty regularly, so I contacted her to ask what was up with her attendance. She shared with me she works for an unnamed restaurant that features golden arches and is run by a clown. And they're taking her shifts in the daytime while she should be attending class.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I am just flabbergasted that a monolithic clown-run corporation would so blatantly break child labor laws, and I wanted to report it. Then I thought about it more, and I'm not sure if her family relies on that income. What are your thoughts?
Ooh.
Oh,
such
a tough one.
Damn.
I actually have not a similar situation, but I have an amazing student who, as soon as they turned 16, they got a part-time job. There is an at-home situation that is fraught with a lot of concerns, and they are essentially the money maker of the family. You know, this is a child. Yeah. They are, you know, almost 18 now, but they were 16, and they were working every night, right after school until probably 10, you know, all weekend, double and triple shifts, picking up shifts. Shit. And it was really starting to wear them down. And I pulled them to a side and I was like, hey, I'm concerned about you. What can I do? And they just cried and cried. And they're like, if I don't work this much, then we don't eat or we don't have electricity. Ooh. And the fact that this child is the breadwinner of the family, it's, you know, what do you do as a teacher? Like, what do you do? And I don't have an answer.
No.
It's hard because the teacher doesn't know. I will say this, Hans. I would sit down and talk to your student because the fact is, I don't know what state you're in, but almost every state surely has attendance requirements for class. And if they miss a certain amount of days, then they fail the class no matter what their grade was. So I would call the student and the parents in and be like, look, you have to tell your boss to stop scheduling you during this time because you're going to fail school.
Yeah.
And means you're going to work at monolithic clown run corporation possibly for the rest of your life. And you're too smart or too whatever, you know, but somebody has to sit down with the kid and the family because they also may not. Here's the thing about kids. Kids aren't going to know that there's a child labor law stating they can't be scheduled to work during school hours. A kid doesn't know that. So she's probably being taken advantage of and exploited by her boss, and you can help stop exploitation.
From Reddit user GreekFizEdLM, like elementary, just had a virtual fire drill at school today. Yes, you read that correctly. We are 100% online. So we had a fire drill in which every teacher had to walk out to the field carrying their laptop and explaining to students what's going on.
What the hell?
The best part is when everyone got to their numbers on the field, we all lost internet connection.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
And that's when the virtual fire truck pulls up and, oh. Now, what kind of idiot's going to do a fire drill when it's only the teachers in the building?
That is amazing.
I have a hypothetical question.
All right.
If we have virtual fire drills and I go outside, is there a possibility that a fire truck with a sexy fireman will be there? Because I will take a virtual fire drill every day.
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure if you pull out your phone, you can look at some virtual firemen and some virtual firewomen and all kinds of virtual people who are going to be all kinds of sexy. And you can blame it on the fire drill said you need saving.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm super into fire drills at school, unless it's raining and it's cold, in which case, no. But it makes me laugh because everybody's already so over it. There's such a universal sense of being over everything. And then on the off chance that there is actually something, like we had a fire drill right before, you know, the apocalypse happened in March. We all had to go outside. And we're like, it's not. Somebody pulled it. It's not a real fire drill. And then like three fire trucks showed up and we were like, oh shit, is it real? Is it real? And they like ran inside. We were like, oh shit, yes, yes, it's happening. It's happening. And then it turned out that it was a microwave and a sweet little first year teacher put their foil covered lunch in the microwave.
Oh, Jesus.
No. Yes. Oh. And they were so humiliated because everyone knew exactly who it was. And I was like, oh, that sucks.
Now, I accidentally set off the fire alarm in my school, but it wasn't by like burning anything. I was kicking a dodgeball in my room. And it went and it hit, it bounced off like a chair or some weird angle and then hit the fire alarm just enough to make the little handle thing fall down. And our school has a thing that if they don't notify the fire department that it's a false alarm within, you know, 10 minutes or 5 minutes, I think it's within 4 or 5 minutes before they, you know, leave the fire department, the school gets fined. And so it went down. I was like, oh shit. So I go booking it up to the office. It's like, it was me. It was me. I did it. I'm sorry. Call, please. Hey guys, guess what?
What?
We have a Patreon!
What?
That's right.
Like OnlyFans?
Yes, just like OnlyFans. Yeah, that's right. Only $5, you can get access to lost episodes and extra bonus content and extra elongated things, and it's just amazing. You'll love it. More content, and you could also get swag, and you know where else you can get swag now? On the Teacher Needs a Drink podcast website. If you are too cheap to be on Patreon, you can just go buy the crap at the website. So, hey, there you go. Woo! Buy our crap.
Oh, are the backup singers ready?
Hell yeah.
I heard one.
Ready.
Oh, I heard one of them.
Just the tip.
Just the tip. What? Just the tip. What? Just the tip.
Just the tip. If you try to focus too much on surviving until June, you are going to just simply burn yourself out. Just compartmentalize the year into what should be small steps. Instead of trying to make it to June, just make it to the next school break or the next weekend or hell, just the end of the next damn class.
I also agree. Look, I'm just trying to make it through September. Like, I'm going month by month. So it's like, make it through September, cool. Make it through October, great. Like, you eat an elephant one bite at a time.
All right, this is called the Desert Island. Unity.
Yes, as I'll ever be.
Yeah. While traveling on business, your spouse, whom you love, is involved in a plane crash over the Pacific Island. It is assumed that everyone on board has died. But then the unbelievable happens. It turns out that your spouse has survived. He/she managed to swim to a desert island where he/she lived in relative comfort with one other survivor. They miraculously located most of the aircraft supplies on the beach, and the island itself was filled with ample food sources. The two survivors return home via helicopter, greeted by the public as media sensations. During a press conference, you cannot help but notice the other survivor physically embodies the type of person to whom your mate is normally attracted. Moreover, the intensity of the event has clearly galvanized a relationship between the two victims. They spend most of the interview explaining how they could not have survived without the other person's presence. They explain how they pass the time by telling anecdotes from their respective lives and both admit to having virtually given up on the possibility for rescue. At the end of the press conference, the two survivors share a tearful goodbye hug. It's extremely emotional. After the press conference, you are finally reunited with your spouse. He/she embraces you warmly and kisses you deeply. How long do you wait before asking if he/she was ever unfaithful to you on the island? Do you ever ask? And if your mate's answer is yes, would that, under these circumstances, be acceptable?
So, I mean, I'll go ahead and start. Sure. I'm going to just say that I'm just happy that she's back. I love my wife so very much. And just to simply have her back now, that's fine. I have her back. She loves me. If it's eroding at the relationship, then okay, talk about it.
Yeah.
Just simply talk it out. Do I ever think that, what's the word I'm looking for, adultery is acceptable? Who am I to judge? That's my answer.
Well, my view is kind of the whole thing. They were on a break. They all kind of thought they were dead. I wouldn't ask. I would stay the fuck out of it. Because who knows, maybe if I was back here and I thought my spouse died, I might seek comfort in the arms of someone else. And then someone else comes back like, oh, you know what? Let's just not talk about this, you know,
exactly.
4 months. We were on a break. It was cool.
If they thought they were never going to come back to me, I can't be mad at them for that.
Would you ask? Or would you just kind of? Yep. I think I'd probably play dumb.
I'm just glad you're back, baby. Mm-hmm. Or, okay, y'all, has everybody seen Castaway, right?
Yeah.
You know, Tom Hanks and Wilson.
Yes.
And he was alive that whole time. But she didn't know, and she moved on with her life, you know, because she thought he was dead. If you show back up after a certain period of time, you just kind of have to accept that the shit happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it would kind of just be, I mean, a one day at a time kind of situation. If he comes back and he obviously still wants to be with me, awesome. If the relationship between them starts to cause a problem between us, like if he's still wanting to be involved with her after he gets back, then that's a thing that we would probably, you know, need to talk out and address and stuff. But if he's choosing me, then I would have a hard time being mad at him for interacting with the only other person alive in the vicinity, and they both thought they were gonna die.
Would you ask, or would you just play dumb?
I don't think I would ask, but I don't know if my curiosity would eventually get the better of me, but I think it would be kind of one of those things that I don't know that I want to know.
I would not ask. I think it's one of those situations where it's scary, and if that is how you got through the day, then who the fuck am I?
Yeah.
So it's just, I would not ask.
All right, well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Anyway, next week is our 50th episode, so be listening for that. Make sure if you want to get your Teacher Needs a Drink swag, you can now just get it directly from the Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast website. And thank you to all of our guests today. I'd like a special thank you for Miss Shirley Temper.
Dracaris.
And also a big thank you to Miss Bunny O'Hare.
It's been a pleasure as always.
Wonderful. And I was happy to have you here, Mr. Turd Ferguson.
It was wonderful to be here, as usual.
Excellent. And also, Miss Sparkles, I'm glad you were here.
Wakanda forever!
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Well, deep breaths, deep drinks, guys. Cheers!
Cheers!
Cheers! Cheers.
I thank you for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday. It is sponsored by Lud Lamb Dramatics and Posh Pretzels of Frisco. If you would also like to hear some extra content or more Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast, go join our Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you can hear lost episodes, exclusives, and all kinds of content, and you get to chat with the host, you know, kind of almost all the time. Anyway, a big thank you to my guests today, Miss Shirley Temper, Miss Spark, Miss Bunny O'Hare, and Mr. Turd Ferguson. Also, a big hug and kiss to Miss Priscilla by my side. My friends, please, if you can, help spread the word about our little podcast. Tell one person in your building and leave a review if you can. All right, I'm out of here, friends. Have a great week. Bye.
would not ask. Sidebar, I'm distracted. Guys, Chadwick Boseman died.
What?
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 Black
what?
Panther. He had colon cancer, and he died. He's 42.
What?
Fuck.
It just dropped. I'm so sorry. I'm hugely distracted.
Yeah, no, it's...
Oh, my God.
Holy shit. We were just watching him, like, right before I came on the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, no, is that why he looked so sick?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Even know he was sick.
I didn't either. Apparently it was a 4-year battle with colon cancer.
Oh my God.
So he knew the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh fuck. Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I really liked him.
I loved him.
I also did not realize he was 42.
Oh yes, ma'am. Black don't crack.